that the God over whose prophets we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And for thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I formally declare this meeting of the Council of the City of Perth open. Are there any apologies?
No, not a bit.
Are there any questions?
Sorry, Lord Mayor, I'm just catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is a question, Lord Mayor, received from Mr. Paul Turner.
Sorry, thank you. Apologies, I'm catching up, ladies and gentlemen. I've been doing some paperwork. The question from Mr. Paul Turner of 1155 Hay Park Circle. It says printed in the agenda. It is a short question, but a very long answer. So therefore, I'd ask for forbearance of those present and note it's noted in the agenda. The answer is noted in the agenda.
Faulty microphone. Okay.
Test, test, 1, 2, 3, check, check. Thank you.
Is that the only question?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any members on leave of absence or requests for leave of absence?
Yes, Lord Mayor, Councillor Barton has requested approved leave of absence from Friday 23 March to Thursday 23 August 2018.
Are there any others? No? Okay, we'll move that. Mm-hmm. Councillor Davidson's moving. Seconder is Councillor Chen. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Confirmation of the minutes. The ordinary meeting of the Council held on 19 December 2017 have been circulated. Mover, Councillor Davidson. Seconder, Councillor Adamos. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay, there are no announcements that have been brought to my attention. Are there any needs to disclose interests from any elected member or employee on any item contained within the agenda this evening? Councillor Adamos, first. Right, noted, thank you. Any others? No others. Okay. Yes?
Yeah, could I just get a clarification? 13.18.
Sorry, 13.18.
Yes, that is correct. That will be an impartiality interest in that respect.
Okay. Are there any questions of which notice has been given?
None received, Lord Mayor.
Any correspondence?
No, Lord Mayor.
Any petitions?
Ditto, Lord Mayor, none.
Any matters for which the meeting may be closed?
Yes, Lord Mayor. In accordance with Section 523(2) of Life Government Act, meeting will require to be closed. The public should wish to discuss item 13.2, and in accordance with the similar section, should an elected member wish to discuss content of confidential attachments in relation to items 8, 13, 14, 17 and 19, it would be recommended that Council resolve to close the meeting to the public prior to discussion of that item.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that takes us to the reports on the notice paper. Okay, so 13.1, adoption of amendments to East Perth Area 21 Constitution Hill North Design Guidelines. Is there a mover, please?
I'm happy to move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Adamos moving. Is there a seconder?
Second, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Davidson, do you wish to open the debate?
Just a couple of brief comments, Lord Mayor. This area is over at Constitution Hill in East Perth. It's an area that's already been it's already moved to City Perth's planning area. Originally, this was an area that was managed by the East Perth Redevelopment Authority. There were design guidelines over that area, and this is one of those spots where, although the land itself was normalised to the City of Perth, these design guidelines didn't form part of our planning framework. So this is really just to tidy up a loose end in the framework there, and to get this within the city's legislation.
Thank you. No one else wishing to speak? I'm going to put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 13.2, which is 52B Whitnoom Street, East Perth.
Lord Mayor, I'd like to move this vote back to the Administration Department for some further review and consideration of the outcomes in the report.
Okay, so Councillor Adamos is moving that to go back to committee. Councillor Davidson has seconded that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 13.3, 240 St George's Terrace, Perth, alterations and additions to Woodside Plaza.
Happy to move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Adamos moves. Seconder?
Happy to second, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Hasluck, do you wish to speak?
Yeah, a couple of brief items, a couple of brief comments about that, for those alterations. So this is the original Woodside Plaza that Woodside was obviously the main tenant. They're now be shifting into the new premises further down Milligan Street. This is really a review of the way that the building operates, and particularly the space in the backyard, I'll call it, where some of those retail shops are. So some minor modifications to really just bring that building closer up to our current day's needs and demands by new tenants and lessors. So it's really just an improvement on what's currently there, and it's just to get the building in a more, I suppose, marketable fashion.
Thank you, Councillor Adamos. Councillor Hasluck.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I agree with Councillor Adamos's comments, and to add that I think that they've put quite a significant amount of work and detail, the level of detail in this report and proposal was quite exceptional. And I think that the design's going to add a real addition of flair to the city skyline, and I think it will be a welcome one.
Okay, I don't see any other lights on. I'm going to put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 13.4, Heritage Grant 55 to 59 Godrich Street, East Perth.
Happy to move this, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Adamos moving. Councillor Harley seconding. Any discussion do you wish to open?
This is part of our Heritage Grants Program, Lord Mayor, where we're supporting ratepayers to bring some of their buildings that may have, I suppose, over time have really changed how they look, and to really bring them back with the original heritage features. This set of houses over in Godrich Street have been altered over its time. You know, extra coats of paint, certain modifications that didn't quite fit within the true heritage fabric of those buildings. And this grant of $57,000 will really go a long way towards repairing some of those years of, modifications, not necessarily improvements or modifications. So looking forward to the end result of this space.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I just briefly wanted to add my words of support to this grant. This is a really important heritage precinct, actually. It's not just a set of buildings here, but all around that part of Godrich Street. Now, there's a high concentration of heritage buildings, and I think in the past, Council has considered that Godrich Street precinct could perhaps be included as a heritage precinct, and that we could add a bit of or provide a bit more attention and focus and identity around this precinct as being very representative of how the residents of East Perth used to live at the turn of last century. So I think that there's a big opportunity for the city to focus its energies here, and I'm very happy to see the owners restoring the property and that council can contribute to the process.
Thank you. Okay, your light's still on. Okay. You've already spoke on the last item.
Yes.
Please proceed.
Yeah, I think this is a very good example of how these city grants are what they were designed for, and the best way for them to be utilised. And I think that these particular owners restoring the facades of these properties is going to have some really good benefits, not just for them, but for the street and the area itself, and I look forward to it being completed.
Thank you, Councillor Hasluck. I'm going to put that item. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.5, Heritage Grant for 7 Queen Street, Perth. Is there a mover?
Happy to move this, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Adamos moves.
Happy to second.
Councillor Hasluck. Is there anyone wishing to speak to this item? If not, I'll put it. I'm going to put it. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.6, Industry Sector Development Sponsorship for Flux Specialty Tech Labs Program.
I move. Councillor Chen, Mayor.
Moving. A seconder, Councillor Hasluck. Do you wish to speak? Apologies for that, Councillor Chen. I was just having something pointed out to me. Does anyone else wish to speak to this item?
Yes, please. Lord Mayor. Just like to add that I think Flux is doing some really good things out there, and this sponsorship will help showcase Perth as an innovation and technology hub, and I think this is a great use of the funding, of the sponsorship funding.
Okay, we're going to put that item. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 13.7, Industry Sector Development Sponsorship, West Australian Indigenous Tourism Operators Council.
Yes, I approve. I move. Lord Mayor.
Councillor Chen moving. Councillor Hasluck seconding.
Lord Mayor, this is a very important item, and the Aboriginal Tourism, the Australian Indigenous Tourism Operators Council, they're representing over 140 Aboriginal tourism operators, and then the tourism industry urgently really requires the Aboriginal culture and support tourism operators in Western Australia, especially when the direct flight from Perth to UK, and so they have more demands from the tourism industry and the tourists overseas.
Thank you. Councillor Hasluck?
Yes, thank you, Lord Mayor.
No, I'm working. I think that the sponsorship will help to further enhance the ever-present demand for Indigenous cultural experiences for visitors to Perth, and that the sponsorship will greatly assist a number of local Perth businesses run by the Indigenous peoples and will help showcase the city and its amazing offerings.
Thank you very much. I'll put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 13.8, I did ask at the beginning of the meeting, I wasn't able to clearly see exactly where the dotted line went on the attachment 13.8. I've decided I will declare a proximity interest and I'll depart the chamber so Councillor Green can take over at this point. Thanks. So item 13.18, East End Improvement Grant Stage 1 East End Improvement Model. Do I have a mover?
Yes, please. Yes,
thank you, Councillor Chen. Thank you, Councillor Linnaeus. Would anyone like to make some comment?
Yeah, I would like to support this, and the reason being is I believe in the improvement of these areas and the injection of support via the City of Perth, and I congratulate again the people behind it that are driving it, the local community that's driving the changes in this particular area, and this all forms part of it, and I want to see it happen, and I look forward to it becoming a burgeoning, thriving environment.
Thank you. On that note, I'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, and that is carried unanimously. Thank you. Okay, 13.9. 13.9 is financial statements and activity for the period ended 30 November 2017.
Move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Harley is moving. Councillor Davidson is seconding. Any discussion? Nope, we'll put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.10, financial statements and activity for the period ended 31 December.
Move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Harley moving. Councillor Davidson seconding. No discussion. I'll put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.11, payments from municipal and trust funds for November 2017.
Move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Harley moving. Seconded, Councillor Davidson. No discussion. I'll put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.12, payments from municipal and trust funds, December 17.
Move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Harley moving.
Seconded, Second, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Davidson. No discussion. I'll put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.13, tender 55 of 17/18, a lighting upgrade at Regal Place and City Place car parks.
Move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Harley is moving. Seconder, Councillor Davidson. Anyone wishing to discuss?
Thanks, yes, Lord Mayor. Yes. These are significant tenders, and we're obviously looking to upgrade the lighting at Regal Place and City Place car parks. But I commend the administration on the approach that has been taken. We had two companies come to us and tender, very similar price and very similar level of service. The administration have recommended that we go with both companies, one for one project and one for the other. We can then see how we go with both of them, and that can inform future tender decisions of the council. So I think this is a wise move, a good strategy on the part of the administration, and I'm very confident with the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Harley. Any other discussion? Going to put that. All in favour? Carried unanimously. So that takes us to 13.14, tender 52/17/18, temporary personnel, contract labour and recruitment.
Move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Harley moving. Seconder, Councillor Davidson. Do you wish to discuss? No, we're going to put that straight to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.15, homeless sector review.
I'd like to move that, please, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Hasluck is moving. Seconder, please. Councillor Harley, do you wish to open the debate?
Yes, please, Lord Mayor. And firstly, I'd like to thank the administration for the enormous efforts that were put into this document. It makes for very difficult reading. It's a raw document. It tells a lot of truths about our society and our community. And whilst the majority of us go home each night to a comfortable bed, there's those of us that don't, not fortunate enough to. And whilst I acknowledge the heavy lifting in this area is something of the state government and federal government, there are things that we can do. And I'd like to say again thank you. It's a special one for me in terms of helping our citizens as best we can, and I'm very supportive of this one.
Okay, any
thank
other
you,
comments? Councillor Harley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Yes, I just wanted to draw Councillor's attention to page 184 of the agenda, and in particular the comparison between the City of Perth, Sydney and Melbourne. It's really, I think, very important to look at that table and to understand the issue that we've got on our plate, but also the interesting demographics. One of the differences with the cities of Sydney and Melbourne to the City of Perth is that our major teaching hospitals are here, located in the CBD, as the Lord Mayor well knows. And so when people are travelling for very serious surgery or very serious medical treatment, quite often they're travelling to the Perth CBD. In New South Wales and Victoria, those kind of medical facilities are more readily available in rural areas, and so we tend to see less of a concentration of people coming to the city for medical assistance. And this is one of the major reasons why people, I think the figure was roughly 33% of people who were rough sleepers identified in the review had received treatment by Royal Perth Hospital in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. I think that was off the top of my... in the last 3 months. So it really is an issue that's quite quite unique to Perth. I think we're well within our rights to say that because of the structure of our health system. And it is very important, as is outlined in this review, that the city works in close collaboration with the state government, as we do. Our residents and ratepayers and business owners are always speaking to council about the need for us to provide services and for us to ensure that, you know, services are provided more generally for people who are rough sleeping, and that's an important area for the council to work in. But it is very important to recognise that our resources are rather limited, and that we need to be working in partnership with the state government and not-for-profit agencies and the many community organisations that do operate in this space. What is really interesting reading in the report is to note just how many organisations are working in this space, how many organisations are attempting to help. And this council has said on a number of times previously that we see that the council has a role in bringing these organisations together, assisting these organisations to communicate with one another and to, in essence, be an organisation that allows for the collaboration to ensure that the service provision is as good as it can be. And I think that's a really worthwhile function of the council, because there are a lot of people with goodwill, there are a lot of people that want to help. There is money available, but we need to get better at working together to deliver those outcomes.
Okay.
A few comments, Lord Mayor. And I concur with my fellow councillors, Councillor Haslak and Councillor Halley. I congratulate the City of Perth administration to prepare such a comprehensive report. And I knew, you know, Director took so long time and consulted with many the homeless social organizations. And then the no social issues can be resolved with a very simplified method, and also city cannot do alone. And then so working together with the state government, federal government, and all the organizations in WA, this is a very good approach. And then I received many complaints about the homeless people sleeping in front of the business doorstep, and then the customers cannot go or feel welcomed. So, and this is a very urgent matter. And then the middle year budget review is pending, and then I think this report is just the right time for this full council to be endorsed. And then once again, I congratulate the administration for the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. Does anyone else wish to make a comment? No, I would like to make a comment before I put it to the vote. I do concur with a lot of the comments that Councillor Harley spoke to. However, I do have to make one comment there about the presentations to Royal Perth Hospital. I sit on a committee at Royal Perth Hospital, and I'm on a different committee now, but the general consensus was that there is too much presentation for chronic health issues, and they're attending at a very expensive to operate acute care facility, namely the emergency room, and that this is not ideal in any capital city. I think the City of Perth has shown a great duty of care, and that's gone across the, you know, the whole provision of services that we've been a part of, and as you can see in this comprehensive report. But I have to remind people, whilst we see that duty of care as very significant, ratepayers are also taxpayers, and we need to always remind ourselves what is the responsibility of the taxpayer versus the ratepayer. And yet, as a capital city, there is that overlap. We have a duty of care requirement because of the fact so many of these people are within our boundaries, and that duty of care also extends to the stakeholders who have very complex issues with finding, you know, homeless people at their doorstep when they come to open their premises in the morning, and all of the issues that we are told about very often. So people need to be very assured that we are working very solidly in this space. We're very aware of the specifics and the people. In fact, we have first-hand, very detailed experience of the people that are in our boundary, but we need to be working cross-government to really find better long-term solutions, so that hopefully we can see a reduction and at least not an increase in this issue. I'll put that matter now for the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. 13.16.
Happy to second.
13.16 is Draft City of Perth Reflect Reconciliation Action Plan 2018-2019. Councillor Harley is moving and Councillor Haslack is seconding. Do you wish to open that?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. What a pleasure it is to sit here and to vote on this item tonight. The City of Perth Council many years ago, I think when I was first elected, had said that we were going to move towards a Reconciliation Action Plan. It's been a long process. I acknowledge the work of Director Rebecca Moore in bringing this process to fruition, and also acknowledge Manager Emma in the room with us tonight as well. Reconciliation Action Plans can be one of two things. They can sit on the shelf and gather dust, or they can be living, breathing actions for plan. And I do have best hopes that our plan will be the latter. The City of Perth doesn't have a large number of Aboriginal staff, or at least we don't believe so at the moment. We have a complex, being a capital city, being a city that's been around a very long time, we have a complex history when it comes to the Aboriginal community and issues with Aboriginal people. The City of Perth in the past, throughout the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, imposed a curfew on Aboriginal people, which excluded them from the city, with the full cooperation of the state government and the broader society at the time. And we have thankfully come a very long way, although we acknowledge that there is still a very long way to go. And that was round time just today in the Parliament when discussions about the Closing the Gap initiative and report were discussed. There's still a very long way to go when it comes to Australia's relationship with its first inhabitants and its cultural custodians. What I like about this report, obviously it's just the first plan in a series of plans. Reconciliation action plans are very broadly welcomed and embraced in the corporate community. Government, it has to say, has been lagging behind a little bit, and so therefore I'm very happy to see the City of Perth taking a step in this direction. Reconciliation action plans move through a series of steps, and there are categorisations right at the very beginning of that process, and some of the recommendations in the plan have raised the attention of the media, and there's been a story or two here or there where, you know, there's been a very specific focus on one initiative. What's very important is to understand that this is a whole of organisation approach to reconciliation, and I believe it will filter right through the organisation from customer service staff to the CEO and up to the council and all the way through the organisation. So I'm really, really pleased to lend my support to this plan, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it develop over the years ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Hulley. Any other comments? Councillor Haslack next.
Yes, please. I'd just like to say that and acknowledge and concur with Councillor Harley's comments. This reconciliation plan will evolve over time. However, it's an important step towards showing the Indigenous peoples of this city, of the Indigenous peoples, the city's steadfast resolve towards reconciliation. We've got much to learn from our Indigenous brothers and sisters, and I look forward to us as one community coming together and strengthening our bond. We are all bound together of our love of this great land, and by coming together we can achieve great things. Thank you.
Very nice. Any other comments?
Just a quick comment. I also concur with a lot of the things that were said, and I appreciate the report that has been put together and the effort behind it. One thing that really the CEO did that was excellent was calling the briefing that we had with the Aboriginal gentleman to talk to talk about our culture, the cultural gaps, and that sort of brought home a lot of the struggles that the Aboriginal community is having, and the actual splits within themselves, and the depth of issues associated as a community as a whole. And I think we can do a lot. As per this report, as government, as local government, as the business community, everybody together can do a lot to bring those gaps closer. And I think it's really important because I was so it really hit me when I was listening to the family values of our Indigenous people. And it's exactly the same as the way I've been brought up as a Southern European. It's very similar, the way what family means and how you do things and how you interact with each other. And we've just got to become one community and support each other and move forward. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor.
Can I just say a few words? Yeah. I once again congratulate our administration to do the greater job. This action plan is not easy to put it together, and also in particular, I really moved by this briefing and the administration engaged the two Aboriginal culture consultants. And the first time, I basically tearing at our briefings. So I had hugged this one of them, and I thanked them how good they are, and then give us a great presentation. So I thank you again to our administration.
You finished speaking?
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much. No other comments? I will put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. 10.17, Tender 63-17-18, Tree Watering and Maintenance Services. Who wishes to move?
I'll move that, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Limnios moving. Seconder, Councillor Chen. Do you wish to discuss the item?
No, it's about watering trees and maintaining them, and I think it's self-explanatory, but if you like, we can go into the benefits of it.
Thank you.
I think everybody would agree it's great to have a green city, and it's very important. Thank you.
Okay, I will put that item all in favour. Carried unanimously. 13.18, third-party travel contribution.
I'd like to move that.
So Councillor Adamos is departing the chamber. And
just for the record, that'll be assessed as a direct financial interest in this item, and therefore that's why he's required to depart.
Okay. So is there a mover for this item?
Lord Mayor.
Councillor Limnios, seconder. Councillor Chen. Any discussion? We'll put that all in favour. Carried. Councillor Adamos can return. Item 13.19, we'll just wait for him to take his seat. Okay, 13.19, Elected Members Communications Protocol.
Lord Mayor, I'd like to move that this be referred to the Finance and Administration Committee.
Okay, so that's a procedural motion by Councillor Harley that be referred to the Finance and Administration Committee, and that's been seconded by Councillor Green, I thought. No, it was Councillor Chen. Sorry, Councillor Chen. Okay, so that's a procedural motion, which means we will put that to the vote immediately. All in favour of referring that to the committee? Everyone's in favour. I'm against referring it to the committee, but it is carried, so it gets referred to the committee. Okay, item 13.20.
Lord Mayor, I'd like to move...
I'll just read it out first. It's Irwin Street Stage 1, Deed of Variation and Project Progress. It's a confidential item. Is there a mover?
Lord Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that this item be referred to the Works Committee.
Okay, so Councillor Harley again is moving procedural motion. Is there a seconder for that? Councillor Limnios? Okay, sorry, we're just going to get a comment from Mr. Ridwell.
Yes, if I can, the Irwin Street matter that you're referring to will have some impacts on the operational project that is listed, because it won't allow for the allocation of the street to be released back to the public realm and may impact on further stages.
Thank you. Councillor Limnios and I, as members of the Works Committee, are happy to convene a special meeting of the committee if that's required to deal with it in a quick fashion.
Through the Chair, I can advise that the Works Committee will not have delegated authority in respect to this item.
Mm-hmm.
If it would need to come back, that would see a delay. And I just question if you could...
May I ask a question?
Just one moment. So, okay. So you were moving a procedural motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've seconded it. You've had that covered.
Thank you.
You wish to now ask a question.
Does the Finance and Admin Committee have the requisite delegated authority to deal with this matter?
No, it doesn't. No specific delegations in relation to this are at any committee level.
If
people do want to discuss the item, do we need to close the move behind closed doors?
In accordance with standing orders, you will now determine through that procedural motion whether it has effect or not.
But if we do want it, this particular motion, is it something to discuss this? Is it a confidential item, or can we discuss it?
Yes. It is a it says it at the top of the report.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so if you wish to continue this discussion ahead of the procedural motion vote that Councillor Harley has just put, which I think they do, we will need to go behind closed doors, which means we need to ask...
I'm happy to move behind closed doors.
Okay, Councillor Anorth is moving to go behind closed doors.
But then, can I just ask a question?
Sorry. Question from Councillor.
If we don't resolve whatever we need to discuss behind closed doors, can we then send it back to committee?
Correct, yes.
Okay, correct. I just want to... before I vote on closing the doors, that's what I want to know. Thank you.
Okay, so Councillor Adams seconding. Moved to go behind closed doors. That's seconded now by Councillor Chen. I'm going to put that all in favour. Carried unanimously. On that last one.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The recommendation was moved by Councillor Adamoff, seconded by Councillor Davidson, that Council notes the details of the latest status of the Irwin Street works being completed under Agreement 480 Hay Street BGC Development to build the footpath and roadway of Irwin Street North and footpaths of Murray and Hay Streets fronting the Western Hotel, and authorises the CEO to execute a deed of variation within that 480 Hay Street BGC Development as outlined in this report. This motion was carried unanimously. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, that is the end of the items on the white pages, as we call them. We will now go to motions. Okay, so how do we want to do this?
Lord Mayor.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we've got...
Lord Mayor, just catch up
with my paperwork. Sorry, just to keep it to the thing. We do have notices of motion this evening. We've got six. Okay.
I can talk to six motions, items 14, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6.
Lord Mayor, sorry, can I withdraw motion 14.1? So just to save the CEO going through that particular motion, it has been agreed that we have convened a CEO Performance Review Committee this week, so there is no need to put this up as a motion at council, so I would like to withdraw that particular motion only, and okay. Just
14.1 is withdrawn. We did discuss that at the briefing prior. 14.2.
Notice of motion received in Council Limios 5 February 2018 in relation to the establishment of the River Cat Service. Now, in accordance with clause 4, in accordance with clause 412 of the City of Perth Standing Orders Local Law 2009, following notice of motion received in Council Limios on 5 February 2018 for consideration of Council. Now, I can read.
I believe it's been amended by Councillor Lee.
Yes. Okay, the Council may wish to...
We've handed out earlier on the three amended motions.
Yes.
The difference in reality is that we're considerably saying bring it back to Council, we're bringing it back to the relevant committees. No other changes. So what do we need to do? Vote on the...
The audio would be good if you read it out.
Yes, I'm being told for the audio it would be best if you read it out.
No problem. Okay. 14.2. That council directs... So I'm altering the motion to this. 14.2, that council directs the CEO to prepare a report for the Finance and Administration Committee within 90 days on what opportunities may exist for the city to establish a financially sustainable river ferry service using low-wake technology. The report should focus on whether the council could operate a ferry service beyond its local government boundaries, linking the city to key precincts along the river, including the Old Swan Brewery, Crawley Bay, University of Western Australia, Applecross, the Raffles Hotel Precinct, South Perth, Burswood Peninsula, Optus Stadium, Harrison Island, Maylands and Claysbrook Cove. The council requests the CEO liaise with relevant local governments, state government agencies, planning authorities, key stakeholders and state ministers in order to assess the viability of such a service. So
Thank you for reading that out. Okay, is there a... Well, you've moved it. Is there a seconder? Councillor Green is seconding Councillor Limnios's motion.
Okay.
Does
so
anyone else wish to speak? Oh, you
I would
to
like
speak
to speak. So, the City of Perth has a lot of competition, and it used to be a situation where the capital city was the place to come because it had the majority of the high quality entertainment venues, the brand, the fashion, the boutiques, and it was the city. Now, in my view, we have extreme competition with the major regional and suburban shopping centres. These places now compete with us. They have cinemas. We don't have a cinema yet. They have whatever brands we've got, David Jones or any other brand. They also have taken some of our best entertainment breweries and businesses that we've had exclusively to Northbridge and the city, and they've put it out in the suburbs. So a lot of people consider the convenience of not having to pay for parking and going and having all the opportunities that the city offers. In my humble opinion, I believe that we need to create infrastructure unique to the city. Tourism plays a big part. Brisbane has a river cat ferry system that they set up low wake. That in itself has become a major tourist benefit for their city. I would like you to imagine a situation where you could finish work at 6 o'clock on a Friday and there's a river ferry service that could take you to the stadium, that could take you up to the raffles. You could catch it back and go back to Elizabeth Quay. You could go over to South Perth. We could utilise that little area of the city, of the city's river precinct that I've described. During the day, it would be perfect for commuters. It would be perfect for students coming in and out of our capital city from UWA. It would provide an excellent tourist offering where people could come down here, leave EQ or leave South Perth or wherever it is that they get to, and visit everything the city has to offer. A system like this in itself is a draw card to bring people, because it'll change the game in terms of your experience coming into the city. So if you live in the suburbs, there's a great reason you can catch public transport all the way from the north back down to here. You could get off at William Street and jump on these ferries and enjoy whatever the city and its precincts and its neighbourhoods and the neighbouring precincts have to offer. So at this stage, that's all I want to say. I'll close the debate later. So, bye.
Thank you very much, Councillor Limnios. Does anyone else wish to speak to this item?
Yes, Lord Mayor.
Okay.
You have a great passion like Councillor Limnios in relation to the ferry services along our Stone River. And I do remember in 2016, I did recommend it to the State Department and then the Minister for Transport.
Sorry, the mic is not working.
What's that noise? Is that the fire alarm?
The mic wasn't working either.
There's a funny noise outside, I don't know what it is, but please. Okay. No, talk loud.
Yeah, I do remember in 2015, I did recommend to the state government, to the Minister for Transport, and they said that the Swan River should be utilized because of the traffic jam and also the population increase then. And then, unfortunately, their time, I think, it's pretty busy. And then a few months back, I also did the PowerPoint and sent it to all the councillors and colleagues. I understand this is a transport issue, mainly is the state government responsibility. However, the city, you know, we need to lead or initiate this, you know, to work with the state government and the relevant authorities to bring this initiative into the reality, or at least do some due diligence. And I agree this matter should be go back to the committee to produce a report. That report will go to the committee and come back to the full council for final endorsements. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. Does anyone else wish to comment? Councillor Harley?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just wanted to say a few things. Good ideas have many parents. Bad ideas are orphans. This is, I think, a good idea, and I think that a lot of councillors around the room have expressed the desire to enhance the River Ferry service. It's not necessarily a new idea, but it's a good idea, and we need to continue to push it. The state government have addressed it. The planning minister, I know, is on it. I did want to make a comment about process. It is my preference that these issues should come up through the committee process in the future. While it's a good idea and I don't at all disagree with the substance of the motion, I think that that it's important that we source the advice of our administration who are at the coalface and could bring us all of this information so that we can make the best decisions. And thank Councillor Limnios for amending the motion. I think it's good. The reason it's going to the Finance and Administration Committee is because this kind of service could potentially be a revenue earner for the city as well as being a really good idea. And so there are other cities in the world who operate profitable ferry services, and so it's not just about investing money in doing something that the state government really has a responsibility to do, which is public transport. But might this service be structured in a way that could derive a sustainable revenue stream for the city while achieving a great planning outcome? And I think that is why I'd be willing to request the CEO produce a report for the committee. I think it would be really interesting to know whether or not that would be possible. So in the future, I prefer it come up through the committee, but the substance of the motion, I think, is important for council to consider.
Okay. Any other people wishing to speak?
Yeah, I'd just like to speak in support of the motion as well. I think that we have seen other Australian cities that have worked both with state and local governments to deliver this kind of service, and it's very well utilised, I've seen and experienced in Brisbane, and although the local government there is very different to ours, I think it's worth contemplating how we might structure something here that could work. So I'm very much in favour of this motion. Thanks.
Okay. No other speakers? I will just... Yes?
Just to clarify, Lord Mayor, we've got actually, I'm reading it, but I'd like some clarification. Are we looking at procedural motions that they're going back to committee? We're not actually debating the item, we're actually debating that it goes back to a particular committee, are we not?
No.
Confirm that a procedural motion is one in which the whole item, no actions can occur until such time as it's referred back to committee. In this instance, this is a motion that's actually referring to committee with actions and timeframes associated with it.
I just wanted to make the comment that, yes, we all desire a city that has, multi options of public transport and that diversity that we all talk about so much. But, what's being proposed here is a metropolitan service, a public transport service, and again, suggesting that it be paid by the ratepayers or looking at that option. This must be done with the state government because, again, we would be losing business to provide a service. So it's a wonderful notion, a fantastic idea, and I concur with Councillor Harley. There was a report on ferry transportation two governments ago, and I recall reading it. It said that this expresses a dream of many people, but there are things such as an 8-knot limit, and obviously you've spoken about, low-wake technology, which would therefore not be an issue for the 8-knot limit. But the distances in that report showed that if you couldn't travel in a quicker time than the bus or the car, there was not going to be the opportunity to convert many people to that service, and therefore the patronage of that service would be the issue. So I understand that we need to look at all the due diligence related to that. I do say 90 days, given all that is on the city's plate right now, does seem a little bit soon to be able to liaise with all of those locations that have been identified, but I suppose if it needs to be delayed, that will ultimately happen. And that's it. No one else wishes to speak? Do you wish to close the debate?
Yes, I would like to close the debate. The motion here is not asking for council to pay for it, so let's be clear, let's not say something that's not there. What it is about engaging the relevant stakeholders and talking to other municipalities, seeing how this thing can happen. It's a very popular thing, and a lot of it has to do with tourism. So it's not just about looking at it as a transport mode. It's about creating vibrancy around our city, and the locations that I've mentioned here are not firm. They could stay within the city boundaries, if you like, or just over to the eastern end. But it's not about creating a... I've had people call me from the community and asking me to put a jetty right up the bottom in Bassendean, next to where in Guildford and stuff like that. So the people like it. People want to see it. I'm talking more for tourism. I'm talking more for excitement and creating infrastructure that differentiates the capital city from suburbs. Now, we have to create as many reasons for people to want to come here. And if it means that you can bring your children here, right, and put them on a little ferry and take them around to three or four destinations around the city, and that becomes a very cheap excursion on our beautiful Swan River for families. So I believe that there's nothing sinister here. It is putting something that everybody agrees is a popular thing and a good thing for an international city on the agenda, and officially put on the agenda for a report to come through. So I ask for your support, Councillor colleagues, on this motion.
Okay, that closes the debate. I'm going to put item 14.2. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 14.3 is the next one.
I'll read this one. That Council directs the CEO to investigate the design of the intersection of Lake and Aberdeen Street and provide a report to the Works Committee which outlines possible design alternatives and high-level cost estimates. So I would like to open the
Please
debate.
Please open.
Well, do I have a seconder on that?
Yes, seconder. Councillor Green. Okay.
So this particular intersection, for people that might not be aware of Northbridge, is Aberdeen Street, around where Corica's Bakery is, in that precinct where the Restore is. For many years, I've been trying to get some attention to that intersection because I've been receiving a lot of complaints with regards to the cars turning right into or left, depending on how... It's mainly turning right, coming down, heading down towards William Street, not seeing the skinny stop sign in the middle of the island and smashing into it. That regularly gets smashed, and regularly we get people driving through, straight through Aberdeen Street, because they don't see that intersection. We get the same thing occurring at Francis and Lake Street. So it's been over 4 years that I have been asking for this particular... these particular intersections to be looked at, how we can redesign them and how we can make them safer and keep the same ingress and egress and just improve those two intersections. It's an important part of the Northbridge precinct, and it's only a matter of time that someone's going to get seriously injured with cars running straight through. So I thought that it was very important, because it's important to stakeholders. I'm getting a lot of phone calls on this, and people are getting to the point where they're saying, well, look, you're not doing anything about it, you're just kicking the can down the road. So I thought the only way I can put this on the agenda is bring it to council, because it becomes an official matter. So I request that my councillor colleagues support this particular motion.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak?
Just a question, Lord Mayor. This particular new... motion talks about the Works Committee. The one that we've got on the agenda talks about it being referred to the planning. So could we just check, is it Works or Planning?
It is Works. It says Works on my copy. Okay, no, but it was amended.
Through the chair, the
if I may.
Yes.
One of the reasons you might see in the original motion that we talked about, I believe, referring it to planning, was for the reason that a substantive part of this is design of the intersection, and that needs to be done in concert with the black spot funding. So the thinking was that, you know, works, whilst it can receive a report from the transport folks, probably might be more appropriate to come through planning, but that was just, as I say, the advice. That was the advice we put on the agenda.
Okay, does anyone else wish to speak to this item? Councillor Hasluck?
Just briefly, I know this area quite well as well, and I do agree there's something needs to be done there at some point. I would just like to say perhaps next time it would be ideal for us to go to the relevant committee in the first instance. But I do agree with you, Councillor Limnios. We need to do something about it, and I'm happy just to talk in favour of it.
Okay.
Right, so anybody else wish to speak?
Does anyone else wish to speak?
I'll just close the motion. For the benefit of everybody around the table.
I'm just being stopped, yes.
Sorry. Just to clarify, does he, under the advice of the Secretary, wish to change it to the planning committee?
I don't believe so. You don't wish to change it to
planning? No, we'll leave it at works.
Leave it at works.
Okay, and just to close the issue, I have sent numerous emails on this and have tried to get something done on this, and that's the reason why I'm bringing it to council. Okay, that is the reason. So it's not because I just want to bring an intersection matter to council. I want it to become high priority. Okay, thank you, and I hope you can support my motion.
Okay, all in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 14.4, the council... I won't read it, so you want to read your own? I was just reading it as though it was the title.
This is something I think dear to the Lord Mayor's heart as well. The council directs the CEO to provide a high-level report to the Works Committee within 90 days outlining possible locations within the city for the construction of a skate park. The report should include local, interstate and international examples of other successful facilities, rough cost estimates for planning, design and construction, as well as an overview of possible funding sources, partnership opportunities and operating models which would maximise benefit to the City of Perth's residents, visitors and stakeholders. I'd like to move my motion.
Okay, Councillor Limnios has moved 14.4. Is there a seconder for that?
Yes, happy to second.
Councillor Green's light I saw. Okay, now does anyone else wish to speak to this item?
I'd like to...
Please. Okay, sorry.
I believe what's happening with the volume. Just put the volume up,
James. Hello? Yeah, it's back. Yeah. I believe that I go back to creating infrastructure unique to the capital city that will attract people. I believe that a up-to-date skate park, these started in America in 1965. Skate parks are not just for young kids that want to hoon around. There's actually people in wheelchairs that use them. There's people up to the age of 35 that use them. It's around that age where you can break your bones. When you're our age, a little bit older, not some of the young people, but it's something that Singapore has created and actually put it in a prominent position in their city. That's probably the only place they allow graffiti and artists to come and sort of express themselves there. I know of families that make a day out of venturing to a skate park, and parents drive their kids down to this park and they sit around. That's why we've got to have facilities as well for people to sit down and water and toilets and things like that. And people actually gather and they come from all different suburbs for their children to experience a skate park. We are competing. We've got to bring, it's our duty to bring people into the city with whatever mechanism we can. We can't just do it with events. We need to create infrastructure. We need to support those people in business that are supplying, spending millions of dollars believing in us, staying in Northbridge, staying in West Perth, staying in East Perth, and doing all those lovely investments that they do. We need to bring patronage. And we've got to, it's a combination of many things that will bring people in. The highest, the best performing shop in the Hay Street Mall is that shop to do with the skating.
Culture King.
Yeah, I forget the name. And I saw them in Melbourne as well, and their main frontage was on the laneway that had all that graffiti, that famous tourist laneway. Their main entrance was on that side. And that is just booming. So I think it's about time that we got up with the times and that we provided a capital city for all and not just a select few. We've got to have... It's got to be for the kids, it's got to be for the young adults, it's got to be for the disabled, it's got to be for everybody.
Thank you. Councillor Harley.
Lord Mayor, thank you. Sorry to reiterate, but I do believe that a motion of this nature should be first referred to the committee because this is obviously a discussion that a lot of councillors have been having for a long time and it's best dealt with at that forum. But with that said, there are many examples around the world, but many examples locally, the city of Fremantle, I think, probably being the best example or the one that I like the most down at the Esplanade. What's interesting about that skate park is that the lion's share of the funding was a co-contribution from Lottery West. And I think there is a real opportunity. City of Perth, we actually don't tend to apply for or receive too many grants from Lottery West, state government grants and federal government grants. This is the kind of infrastructure project that we could receive a co-contribution for. I think, obviously, being the capital city, there is an expectation on us to deliver not just a skate park like you might find in Margaret River being built, for example, but something that's truly impressive. So I guess the risk is if we under-invest in a facility like this, it will not be viewed well. If we do this, we need to do it really well, and it will be a very, you know, seriously expensive project, and that's why we would need to look to funding partners and community partners and stakeholders to assist. There has been, should I say, in the past, a bit of a bad vibe around skate parks, or that's how it's been reported. But I think over the last 6, 7, 8, maybe even up to 10 years, we've seen skate parks, really, really fantastic infrastructure being built all around the place. This one in Busselton, and I think a lot of us could point to many great examples. City of Vincent in Leederville, another good one. So what we see is entire families, as Councillor Lemios pointed out, coming, really young kids, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old and all the way up through to adults. If we do it, we've got to do it well. So I'm happy for the report to go to the Works Committee and to look at some potential funding options, and then we can deal with it through the normal business of the Council.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Harley. Is it Councillor Green?
Thank you. Yeah, I think that investigating what kind of skate park would work in a capital city, there are many contemporary designs, as Councillor Harley pointed, which are really quite architectural contributions to a city. And I think it's actually something unique that could be a draw card to bring more young people into the city and also make better use of areas perhaps such as the foreshore. These kinds of things, I mean, we haven't really contemplated exactly what the foreshore might look like in the bigger sense of the word, and I think that a location like that could be very interesting. So I'm very curious to see the outcomes of this report, if it's supported by Council, and I'll certainly be doing that.
Councillor Chen.
I just say a few words. Yes, I support in principle and also agree with Councillor Harley. If we're not urging the matters in the future, we should go through the committee process and to respect, you know, we're having committee there. And then I think the idea is very good. And then you go travel other cities, like recently go to Japan or China, whatever, and you always see the big
shopping mall, the underground, not underground, it's ground level, they always have ice skating, and then you're attracting so many people, the same scenario, and if you have a skate park to attract the people to come to the city. And in the future, if parking revenue is getting less, we need to consider whether we can, on those spots, to build a shopping mall, and then with those facilities. Yes, I will support this item.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor
Yes.
Harley? Haslack.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. And I'd like to thank Councillor Limios for moving this motion tonight. It's a great thing, and I think it does draw families, all sorts of people, even the young adults at heart. It's a good space for activation. It's a good space for families. And I think that this is something that we could make work if done smart, and the initial investigations will help us determine whether or not it's viable, and whether or not it's something we should be moving forward on. But I'm quite excited about it.
Thank you. Okay, I'll add my 5 cents worth. I do think that there's been a number of messages from colleagues around the table this evening that the raising of these items should be via general business at committee, so I'm adding my comment to that. I think that's fair to all colleagues who abide by that process. And equally, those people have ideas that they're passionate about as well, but they're not raising them via the public agenda, they are respectfully going through the general business process. On the issue itself, I'm surprised that no one...
I'd just like to call a point of order. The suggestion that doing this is disrespectful is actually disrespectful to the Local Government Act. Councillors are well within their rights to raise matters before council, and that isn't a sign of disrespect, which you did...
What was the point of order?
You said that councillors are respectfully putting things to the committee.
Sorry, Councillor Green. Reference the standing order item that you're bringing me up on a point of order on.
You're making a disparaging comment in relation
not
to...
Not a disparaging comment.
I think it is.
Standing order number?
I need to get advice from governance, but... Yep.
We'll just let it go for now. It's not a disparaging comment in response because... Several other people around this horseshoe have made the same comment. I think respect needs to be shown to other colleagues who have equally as important ideas to them that they want to raise, and I saw many heads nodding when I raised that. They bring those items up at general business, which is the standard practice, and not via a public agenda. Okay? That is the point that has been made by about two or three people this evening and voiced...
Can I ask a question, Lord Mayor?
I'm closing my comment and then you can close the debate.
But I want to close the debate. I want to ask a question.
Okay.
Where does it state that it is not correct or inappropriate to bring motions to council? Can you please advise me?
No one's... Yeah, please.
Through the chair, the standing orders itself does allow the rights for elected members to directly go through as a councillor motion. That being said, even in the standing orders and through our processes, and as written as the administration's position in this matter, is that we have a committee process so that this matter can be discussed not in isolation of the item. So as an example, if I use the skate park, the allocation of officer time and workforce and how it aligns with the corporate business plan needs to be considered because we now have finite resources to make those decisions. So where we say we have a deadline of 90 days, we need to assess that to say, okay, well, to the committee, in what priority to something that's previously been committed do you want to drop off in that respect? So that at that committee meeting, that allows for those discussions, debate and supplementary information to be provided to elected members.
Sorry, did you recall that I raised it at I think it was marketing or works committee. At the works committee, I have raised it. So to insinuate that I haven't raised it at committee level, and to elaborate on that, I take offence at that, because I have raised it. All I'm doing is formalising the instruction that I wish to see happen, so it can move forward. So to insinuate that I'm taking up finite resources. Sorry,
Sorry, no, I just wanted to just say there's no insinuation on your part for this specifics, but if you relate to this one, it did go through to committee and there was a response in that respect that provided that there was earmarked for a future project in relation to Wellington Square. So there was an answer to that at the committee meeting, and there's nothing to stop that actually being then further discussed and supplement at the committee meeting.
So now what we're doing is putting specifics around it in terms of timing, budget, and the upcoming budgets. And as long as, like we've been told before, as long as it's a direction of council, you know, it will be acted upon. Anything else won't. Right. So, thanks.
Can I just clarify to that point? You need to also consider the fact that council has also adopted a corporate business plan, and so there are commitments given in that we need to also give consideration to. So, yes, council can resolve this matter, but there can also be the consideration of what is, in the integrated planning process, a corporate business plan that aligns to the strategic community plan. So we need to consider those holistically. And that's the reference point that we're making, is that that's where committee meetings can provide that assistance for dialogue and debate and consideration of what council sees as the priority.
Okay, I'll finish off my... was in the middle of finishing off mine. Okay. The other point I wanted to make is that, you know, there's a couple of things. We have a budget meeting next week where we were going to raise items that we feel passionate about. This is a perfect item for that discussion. Equally, we also talk about master planning processes where we have a desire to look at the river foreshore between, say, Point Fraser and Elizabeth Quay and or the Wellington Square master plan. Both areas could potentially be the home of a skate park. So I suppose, you know, we bring the idea up as a skate park study, or we look at bringing up the potential of skate parks within a master planning process. Either way, they still need to be budgeted for, and they still need to fit in with the corporate business plan and those things. So I still reiterate the point, with no disrespect, that, you know, again, it's kind of like almost pushing the queue. And, you know, I've got another six or seven ideas that I feel passionate about, but I will raise them through general business, or I will raise them in I'm finishing and then you can close the debate. I think it is the way it's always been done. It is the correct mechanism for new ideas and for visionary ideas. You clearly don't accept that and you're wanting to, you know, push your agenda, and that's fine. Everyone's got to do what they want to do, but I think there's got to be more recognition of everyone's desire to, you know, speak about their own passions and their own ideas. And not everyone tonight is putting a motion on the agenda. Otherwise, instead of having six, we might have had 9 times 6, 54. We would have been here probably till midnight. That is the point I'm making, respectfully, and I'll finish my debate at that. Thank you.
Look, Mayor, can I say a few words?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. You go first.
Councillor Chen had her light on and then... Oh, sorry. Okay. It's been a long debate. So you've spoken, Councillor...
We haven't spoken on this item.
Okay. Did she speak? Okay. I'm going to allow you to speak.
What I try to say, I do recall you mentioned at the committee, because I'm at the works committee as well. And then the response from the administration was, you know, for future report. And then I did ask them when will be the future report, and the answer was because they consider all those items, the infrastructure, at once, with whether the master plan can include all those ideas. So this is the original, you know, the works committee's situation. I do agree when you a matter has been delayed for too long or deferred for too long, you have all the rights to bring directly to the full council. However, if the matter still like within 2-3 months, and I hope and I encourage all the council colleagues to go through the committee process, otherwise defeat the purpose of having committees. Thank you.
Okay, that's it. You can close the debate.
I am very keen to see this progress. Lord Mayor, if you don't like it, you don't have to vote for it. I know that you, in the past, have been very against skateboarding and things like that. You've told me personally. So I understand that...
That's a disparaging comment.
Well, what, that you've told me that you haven't liked skateboarding?
I don't like
you've told me personally.
No, I have not.
Oh, you... Okay. Anyway, I don't want to elaborate on that part. The only thing I want to elaborate in is that I want to see us as a capital city create as many exciting opportunities to attract visitors and tourists and even have competitions and get, you know, Australia-wide contests had here. And I would hopefully, I'll get the council, the majority at least, of the council support for this motion and we can move forward. Thank you.
Okay, so we're now going to put 14.6 to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay, that brings us to the end of item 14, and item 15 is any items of urgent business. Sorry? Oh, sorry, there's more motions?
14.5.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water? Sorry, 14.5.
Lord Mayor, accordance with standing orders, the notice of motion received in Deputy Lord McGreen on 6 February 2018.
Sorry. Okay, that's 14.5, yes?
Sorry, Lord Mayor, can I...
Okay, we've just had two councillors needing to take a little break, so we might just take a moment's break, if you can hold, please. Yeah, well, we're just adjourning for a moment. Yeah. Thank you.
Shall I read it and then move it?
Yes, that's what I was thinking would happen.
Are you sure?
Yes.
No, I won't read the whole thing, I'll spare you. The motion is that Council request the Chief Executive Officer to prepare a new city parklets policy which proactively encourages the establishment of both Council and private funded street parklets to encourage greater street activation, pedestrian amenity and support for small business in the city. A draft policy should consider existing policies already implemented by cities around the world, which should focus not on red tape, but that they are easy to understand and use as a policy guide. The draft policy for consultation should be received by Council no later than April 2018.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Harley. Does anyone else wish to discuss this? Do you wish to open your... Okay.
I'd like to
thank
the
I think it's working now. The key objectives of street parklets are to enhance pedestrian experience by making streets more hospitable, people-friendly, including providing more green space, shade and seating to provide a place to meet friends, rest, eat or take a break. Supporting small local businesses in the area is also a key objective by encouraging people to linger longer in a precinct, and also it enables small businesses to expand their alfresco area beyond the traditional pedestrian path, particularly where there is limited sidewalk or footpath. So they're the kind of key aspects of it. And I think that a parklet policy, a good quality one at least, should encourage creative, sustainable, high-quality parklet installations which are safe and meet technical requirements. However, the policy should not be cumbersome, rather set out clear conditions under which parklets may be installed, and a how-to guide can assist this process if a policy is adopted by Council tonight, which I sincerely hope it will be. And on that note, I will complete my opening statement.
Just a correction, it won't be a policy tonight.
No.
Okay.
So, Lord Mayor, I'm happy to move a procedural motion that, of course, we refer this back to the Planning Committee.
Okay,
and,
that's a procedural motion.
Obviously, it will obviously then get all the due diligence and the work on it that is required.
Correct. Okay, so that is a procedural motion moved by Councillor Davidson, seconded by Councillor Adamos. All in favour of referring it back to the committee, please show your hands. It's only the three, so it lapses. So who else wishes to speak to the item?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd like to speak to the item as well. Thank you, Councillor Green, for proposing the motion. Some of the largest, most metropolitan cities in the world have been champions of and have adopted parklet policies and strategies over a number of years. We have some local examples as well here in Western Australia, but I think really we should be looking overseas for the very best examples. Some of the local examples are a bit scrappy and cheap in my view, and I think some of the best examples and some of the best that I've seen in New York when I've been visiting myself are really quite astounding and really do make an important architectural and urban contribution to those cities. I've been approached by a number of business owners, as I'm sure other councillors have, around wanting to activate the front of their premises with a parklet. It is, though, a balancing act because we need to ensure that there is the provision for adequate street parking in the city. We also have businesses coming up to us and saying that, you know, the parking regime is not adequate, that they need a, you know, a quicker turnover, or they need more 15-minute bays or other things. So these are not easy policies to pursue. They need to be adopted and balanced against all of the other competing priorities of a city the nature of ours. But I do agree with the sentiment, and I would love to see some of the innovative ideas that no doubt reside in our planning and urban design teams and see what they might come up with so that council can make a decision about the best way forward.
Okay, I don't see who speaks. Oh, Councillor Hasluck.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. People may recall fairly recently we made changes to the alfresco fees that people pay and the businesses pay, and I think this is just an extension of that, and I speak in favour of this motion because I feel that it is very, very good for business. I too have been approached by businesses in the city, particularly East Perth, which I think would make for a great example of where this type of thing would work, and it's a great way of activating spaces that we haven't utilised in the past. I guess you can have a street full of car parking bays and streets lined with cars. I think that this is a really good way to be creative with some spaces that would normally just be filled with cars. I welcome this motion.
Councillor Chen and Councillor Adamos.
Can I say something? You know, I like the ideas. From beginning, I thought it's better to through the committee process, and it gave the administration, you know, time to do the due diligence and then how we go about it. And then I received a letter from the ratepayer in the city, and then they do think the business owners, the small businesses are really need those facilitation and assistance and help. So that's why I changed my mind. I agree with the motion today. And then, of course, the motion mainly is to give the administration opportunity to explore the idea and then how go about it. So that's why I'm in favour of the motion. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Adamos.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Oh, just a general comment, I suppose. We've just had three motions by Councillor Linios raised, and there's a lot of comments around the table that had to go to the committee. There's a lot of people that commented that should happen. Mm-hmm. On this case, where I don't see anyone jumping up and down saying that this has to go to the committee, I'm actually completely bewildered that we can apply one approach to one council and another approach to someone else. I'm absolutely astounded.
Just a moment, please. Is that a question or is it just a comment?
It's a comment.
Okay, no problem. I'll take it as just a comment. Who else wishes to speak on the motion?
I would like to speak on it. Like my councillor colleagues have said, there's great examples overseas and internationally where these work tastefully. And they are architecturally good and they do add value to the streetscape, and they do create space that otherwise these businesses wouldn't have. there are many businesses that don't have a viable al fresco dining area, but their businesses actually suit an al fresco environment. And the fact of the matter is we've got a state that has a lot of sunny days. And the outdoors is something that we could really utilise and utilise well. So I commend Councillor or Deputy Lord Mayor Green on this initiative, and I am highly supportive of the motion, and I hope that our councillor colleagues will support it as well. Thank you.
Okay, I'll make a comment, and then I guess it's closing.
I just had a question.
Question?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Adamos mentioned a point before around the process and whether or not this motion, if approved by the council, whether or not the draft policy would come up directly to the council or would come up through the standard committee process. It is my understanding that the report could be provided to the committee for council's consideration subsequently. I wanted to ask the CEO whether or not that would be his deemed approach, or if, and therefore I ask Councillor Adamos to consider if he wishes amending the motion so that it states that the policy should come to the committee, which is another option.
Thank you for drawing that. I hadn't noticed that. Thank you.
Through the chair, in response to the question, well, obviously the motion is to council, so it would come to council. You want to specify that it reports to committee if council wishes that. I would also say that I've noted that the time frames on the motions to date all look like about 90 days. This one's tighter at April, so to go to committee, I think the time frame would need to be looked at too. And as I think council have seen, the comment of the admin on all of the items is about alignment with the corporate business plan and the budget and workforce plan. So I would point out that that report will include probably, well, it will include what items are delayed or dropped, and that would be part of the recommendation back through committee if required. I'd suggest that the more time given, the better.
Okay, so can I just clarify then, you asked the question as to whether the mover of the motion was happy to consider it to come back to committee, is that right? But we would need someone who hasn't spoken to move an alternate. Are you able to do that?
I'm happy to move an alternate amendment. To
okay, that it come back to committee.
Come back to committee.
Okay, is there a seconder for that?
I'm happy to second this to go
to the
report.
Should
I be able to second
it? Okay, you're the mover of the main motion, so I think it's acceptable.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm for the CEO, is it the CEO's advice that this policy would be best to be referred to the planning committee?
Through the chair, my view is that it would, given that it includes traffic and transport and planning, obviously, of the public realm, but also, obviously, there'll be inputs from parking, etc., as you will be aware. You know, the city receives revenue, albeit also pays a charge to the state government for each bay. So there'll be a combination of both planning, commercial, and obviously parking, traffic and transport. So it'll be obviously a group effort, but I'd suggest planning's the correct committee to consider it.
Okay. Do you wish to speak to that amendment that you're making, or you're just happy to have moved it?
I'm happy to have moved it.
Okay. And Councillor Green has seconded it. I would like to speak to it, if that's okay.
Can we vote on that?
Well, no, it's not a procedural, it's an amendment.
I think we should go back to the mover, if they're willing to make that
make
amendment
to
their original motion.
You are willing?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to make the amendment to the original motion. Thanks, Manager of Government.
Do we need to formally vote on that?
No,
the seconder has agreed. Okay.
Seconder agrees.
So then I will speak, I guess, ahead of you closing. Right. I'm more than happy to support it now that it's going back to committee, because I think there is a lot of work that needs to be done here. And I will make the comment that half of our parks around our city of Perth are empty anyway.
Can I just clarify that you said that it's going back to committee? You mean the report, as opposed to this actual motion?
The final... Well,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Half the existing parks we've got in the city need activation at the moment, and I think the existing alfresco areas certainly need more compliance and more activation. And, you know, here we are looking to create parklets. I think it's a bit ahead of itself. I think we could be doing this in a sequential process. And no one, until the CEO did, mentioned the parking levy, which is an encumbrance that we have, unlike any other local government authority here in Western Australia that is dabbling in parklets. So, yeah, I'm more than happy to support it for the discussion to continue, but provided that the report comes back to committee. Thank you.
Thank you. The legislation which governs parking levies only requires us to pay the levy where the bay is actually being metered and charged. So I understand that we don't actually have to pay the parking levy if we install a parklet, just as a point of clarification.
We have to deregister it, but I get you.
Yeah, so it's actually not a cost consideration. The other thing to factor in is that I've received a number of calls from traders that are going out of business. In East Perth this week, I'm aware of four businesses that in the next month will close their doors. The vacancy rate is forecast in East Perth to go up to 50% within the next 3 months. There is a sense of urgency around doing something to assist traders. Yes. And it's not just East Perth as well. I've received calls and letters of support from businesses operating out of Northbridge. And although it's not currently in the corporate business plan, the business plan shouldn't be the only compass or bible. We do need to respond to market conditions and changing market conditions or deteriorating, as the case may be here. And so I put this motion up because of sense of urgency, but also because on the 19th of February we have the mid-year budget review discussion, and I wanted this to be on the table to discuss as a part of that. Also bearing in mind that the CapEx expenditure for the city is far behind schedule, and we actually have a lot of budget that could be reconsidered for things like this. And I brought it to Council's attention now because it actually went via the Planning Committee on the 6th of Feb, and then subsequently 6th of March, we'll miss the timeline to really put this on the discussion. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, and so for a number of reasons, I felt that it was it required the attention of council at this moment in time, and I would commend this to council and hope that I will garner your support. Thank you.
Okay, put that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. And there is... Sorry, you're against? Okay, sorry, didn't notice that. Councillor Davidson against. 14.6... Is that right? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you like to read it out, Councillor Green?
I'll second that motion, Lord Mayor.
Is that working?
Yes.
The motion has a few parts. The first part is that the Council strongly endorses the policy approach for Perth as a city of neighbourhoods, based on the following policy principles that the city of neighbourhoods approach contains. Firstly, it's about empowering local residents, small business and property owners who live, work and play in their neighbourhoods to develop and drive ideas to improve their precincts and create active management of a precinct, not just every few years when we happen to start engaging with them. The second thing is that it recognises the best ideas can be developed from the people who reside, live, work and play every day in those neighbourhoods and enable authentic precinct identities. The next aspect is that it's about enabling the City of Perth to leverage additional funding from private and not-for-profit funding sources to complement the significant economic work of the city to activate precincts. It's also about fostering and facilitating distinct inner-city neighbourhood identities which enhance the urban experience for residents buying into the city and for tourists wanting an interesting and lively and unique city experience. It's about enhancing the overall experience for any visitor to the city and encouraging them to look beyond the CBD
to visit other parts of the city which have less foot traffic, at least now. It also recognises that precincts and neighbourhood organisations are not a competitor to the City of Perth's operations and programs, but rather active partners who complement and enhance the work of the city to drive economic development and are not a threat to the city's overall marketing and branding programs, nor its underlying fundamental work. It also recognises that the City of Neighbourhoods has been highly successful in cities around the world, and the implementation of such an approach in the City of Perth is not working to copy, but rather to create an authentic and distinct identity for our city. So the motion basically directs the CEO to write to each precinct and neighbourhood organisation that we know of already, outlining this policy approach. It authorises the establishment of a working group of existing new neighbourhood and precinct organisations that must meet with a certain level of frequency. And the member of the City Neighbourhoods Working Group would include the following members, with up to two representatives invited from each organisation. There's a list of the existing ones that we know about: East Perth Community Safety Group, Activate Perth, Heritage Perth, Historic Heart Incorporated, West Perth Local, Northbridge Common, On William, East Perth Collective and the West End Association, King Street Precinct, the Western Residents Association and any other group that happens to be...
Yeah, sorry, she's opening. Just let her finish her opening.
Yeah.
I'll ask you a question.
Sure.
Let her finish.
This working group, the City Neighbourhoods Working Group, will be chaired by a member of the council, and we do need to select a person to consider for that purpose. So I'll ask for advice on governance in a minute as to how to go about doing that in line with the standing orders. And just finally, the working group would also include the Director of Economic Development team and another staff as determined by the CEO. The motion says that the council will direct the CEO and admin to work with relevant tourism authorities, organisations and the state government to develop and promote Perth as a city of neighbourhoods, and that council recognises and congratulates the energised approach by the city's economic development team, in particular spreading economic activation across the city. So that's the motion.
Okay, thank you. Mark Ridgewell was going to make a comment, and then you... Look, you want to push him with the question? Go ahead.
Certainly. I'm happy to. Are you happy to second that? Is it? Okay. So,
just to clarify, yes.
Hang on. You're speaking or you're asking a question?
I am clarifying that Councillor Linehan is asking a question. As the seconder of the motion, I am happy for the motion to be edited to include the beginning specifically in the list of precinct organisations.
Okay, fine. Okay, now Mark Ridgewell is going to make a comment.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think it's important to note in respect to this motion, unlike the previous ones, notwithstanding the intent of the motion, it does propose to introduce a new classification of policy to Council. This matter, again, would be more appropriately referred to committee to establish and define the protocols and formulate into a Council policy, that being then documented that Council, when they adopt that policy, then it is enforced and the obligations on the administration in that respect. Unlike the previous motions, which have actually said that they'd be referred to committee for the finalisation of those policies, in this instance, this motion will actually be resolved as a policy position, and in that instance there, Council needs to carefully consider it. In regards to how the practicalities of the motion, if there's an election to a representative, I would suggest that you would split out all of the steps in that motion, with the exception of the representative, and then once the first part of it has been approved, resolved by Council, then we move to the second part.
Just to clarify, I would propose to extract that piece out, that sentence out, then we'd vote on that, and then we'd have a second vote on who would be appointed in the event that the first part of the motion is carried.
That is correct.
Thank you. I'm happy to do that. So what would I be proposing?
Through the Chair, as we go through the motion, when you finalise and summarise, we'll make note of that exception, and then we'll address it if we get to stage two.
Super, thanks.
Okay. So, it has been seconded. You have opened. Does anyone else wish to speak to the item now?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This is indeed a complex motion, and I do strongly believe in the intent of the motion. I do believe that there could be areas to tweak it here or there to make it, you know, down the line, a motion that the administration would be entirely happy with. I do think, though, that if the council were to approve this motion, that the administration would clearly understand the intention of the council in establishing an approach towards city neighbourhood precincts to, you know, collaborate with them, to bring them into the fold, to consult with them in a strategic and consolidated way, which was defined in a process of council. I think that that is an important step for us to make. So I would ask elected members around the table to, if they have a reservation about a particular point here or there, to understand that the intention of the recommendation is sincere, and that the outcome of implementing the recommendation would be a great thing for the city. I recognise that if the governance team got their hands on it, they may want to make a few tweaks, but I believe that the motion, if approved as it currently stands, would still form a logical and reasonable recommendation of the council for the administration to undertake.
Councillor Adamoff.
Lord Mayor, I understand what the intent of this policy is, but my big fear is that this is policy on the run. We're sitting here, eight elected members and yourself as a ninth, committing to this policy, committing our 700 staff of the City of Perth, committing our ratepayers, committing every resources we have in the city towards this policy. This has not gone through the proper process. This has not gone through a committee. It has not had the opportunity for administration to review it, consider how it's impacted by things like CPS2, our most important planning framework. None of this has been considered by anyone. This has been considered by a handful of people, and I think to have councillors around the table make any decisions unless we've gone through this properly, I just think I'm quite fearful of that, because next time we'll have another policy potentially come off to council and it doesn't go through the right process. This is, again, it's an extraordinary process for this to happen. Administration needs proper time, proper due consideration to go through this. I know the neighbourhood precinct program is actually being worked on at the moment with planning, so this is something that's currently in the pipeline. I won't be supporting this as a policy tonight because I haven't had a proper opportunity to sit with different members of the administration through planning, through everything else, to actually consider the ramifications of this. If we sign this off tonight, we're committing, our City of Perth, all our thousands of ratepayers, we're committing our funds, our budgets, everything, and all our staff, we're committing to this policy tonight, which we've only just been discussing for the last 10, 15 minutes. It is extraordinary. So, Lord Mayor, in its current state, I won't be supporting it unless a situation like this goes back to a particular committee and there's an opportunity for that process to occur. Okay, the merits of this policy, I get it, I understand, it has got some merit, but I just think for us to be approving it's extraordinary.
Okay, I will speak. I share those views, and no one's spoken about any financial implications, and there are some merits to it, I accept that, but I just feel we've put a lot of pressure on our administration this evening with the previous motions, and everything seems to have such a hurried timeline, and I just don't think it's quite fair to an already busy administration. And as I say, I would have been inclined to have supported it, but I will be doing the same thing as Councillor Adamoff.
Can I speak?
Next.
Okay. I'm speaking on in support of this motion. I hear everybody's comments around the table, but for me, the spirit and intention of this motion is very clear. We often look at other successful capital cities that have been around for hundreds of years, and New York City is one of them. It's built on the boroughs, on the borough system, and we have got so many distinct precincts in the city, And I, for many years, I felt that we've looked at the capital city as just the CBD, as just one sort of blanket overview. There isn't. What we're doing is we're lucky enough to have people that are forming these resident groups that are coming together with a passion to support our capital city. We've got major stakeholders and residents coming together, which is quite unique in itself, to formulate activities and groups that will make our capital city more interesting. I think that is a compliment to us, that people, well, there's two ways of looking at it, is that they either think we're not doing a good enough job and they're getting desperate, or they think that we are okay and they would like to work with us. But I believe as the capital city, as elected members, representing those people, that's who we represent. And behind those people are thousands of ratepayers and residents that we need to also consider. And if the majority of the people are coming to us through regular communication, and I don't think this is, with respect, it's not a policy on the run or something that's only been in the last 15 minutes spoken about, and I say that respectfully. I respect your opinion, but I'm not. What I'm saying is that I know that there's been a lot of discussion around this, and this discussion has been going on for months, years, and we need to get behind these groups, we need to get behind our capital city, and we need to make it the most interesting place we can. As I'm saying, we are competing with these neighbourhoods that are creating their own precincts and smashing us. We need to be able to get people here and want to stay here. So all these initiatives are very, very important. A lot of them, you know, people might think that we're just throwing them up here. There's been a lot of discussions that's happened behind the scenes. There's been a lot of people have been consulted with. There's been a lot of external people that want to see these changes happen that actually are directly affected. So my conscience is clear that as an elected member representing the people of the capital city of Perth and the various precincts, that I am following their wish in principle. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Councillor Hazard.
Hello. I think that if we commit to this, we meet the very clear message that was given to us by the people last year during the Perth City Summit and several other community functions and community groups that we've consulted with or that I've spoken with in the past about this. They are very keen to see this happen. We do have very clear, defined areas within Perth. Northbridge is definitely not the same as Crawley, for example. And I think that this is a very, very good way of highlighting what we can do. And there are so many people in the community that really want to get involved with this type of thing. They're just biting at the bit, contacting. I know a lot of us have been contacted. How do we get involved? How do we get involved with our community? And I think this is a fantastic opportunity for us to get them involved in their local communities, but also at the same time a bigger picture situation. So I'm in favour of this.
Okay. Just a question. What were the financial implications that you've assessed for this item?
Actually, it's about, if you look at the other councils that have done this, it's about how do you get greater leverage.
I understand all that. Just the financial implications. Have we had any administration assessment of this?
No, as a part of the budgeting process, which could take place inside the mid-year budget review, we can look at...
approved tonight before that?
No, the mid-year budget review process, as I understand it, is for us to figure out how much money we would like to allocate or reallocate to things that the council has determined are of strategic importance.
No, sorry, it was a simple question. Have you had any budgetary consideration done on this item ahead of passing it as a policy tonight?
No, the...
Okay, thank you.
That's all right.
Okay, does anyone else wish to speak before I close this item?
Has any of this gone through our planning division to look at the impacts of all the different, excuse me, I'll need to finish, to go through all the different impacts of all the planning guidelines, state and local guidelines.
And sorry, that question will be answered by an officer.
Well, but I actually realised that I didn't correctly answer your previous question.
Well, we'll come back to you in a moment, so we'll just let Councillor Adamos's question be answered via Mr. Farley.
Through you, Lord Mayor. As councillors are aware, we're currently doing the city planning strategy, and on our website we actually have a survey which looks at our neighbourhood future. So we have not done any financial analysis of that, but we have already done engagement at the neighbourhood level with the community, and that is part of the approach the council has endorsed in terms of the planning strategy. Thank you.
Okay, now you wish to, you've had a bit of time to think about the financial.
Yes, so we have actually done extensive work in terms of the neighbourhood's planning approach, and it was actually brought to council to look at this kind of approach. It was brought by the administration to council in the context of a motion for historic heart as long as nearly one year ago, I believe, and a potential structure for how that might work was brought to council. And the reason it was suggested by the administration as a preferred pathway was to ensure that we got most bang for buck from our marketing and sponsorship dollars, and that it would actually mitigate the risk of doing ad hoc decision making to these groups. It would form part of a strategic approach and actually de-risk and reduce the overall cost of managing and interfacing with these groups and ensure that we got the most leverage. And so this actual approach is a lower cost option, as I understand it, from how we're currently conducting our activities.
But if you haven't done any financial assessment, how do you know that?
This was conveyed to us by the administration in talking about the neighbourhood's approach as a preferred way of doing it to de-risk and reduce the cost for interacting with these groups.
Okay, can you verify that, please? Thank you.
I can't provide comment necessary specific to that, but what I do want to make comment about is the fact that when we are engaging with the community, this policy position is talking about going to community representatives. Or are you talking about it in the context of what we previously had, which was to talk to the community of those neighbourhoods? So in this motion, we're talking about representatives from those sections. So that's one of the questions that might need to be asked.
So to answer that...
Sorry, can I make a comment to the chair about the financial implications? I mean, there's one... I don't believe that we've provided any formal advice in respect to costing. We have, of course, had discussions around area improvement models and such as they apply. For example, the Barrett Street area, we expanded that to include the East End so that we could cooperate with some of the precinct groups legally. I'll make the other comment while I've got the microphone. The motion is quite prescriptive about who does what. I believe item 6, if council wishes to pass this tonight, should be amended to be that it would be instructing me to provide a member of staff or somebody to be within whatever structures there are, because I believe it would be an overreach for council to direct a particular member of my staff to do something without at least my assent. So I'd request that that be considered.
Certainly, happy to do that with the endorsement of Councillor Harley.
Thank you, CEO.
Well, I'm the chair, with respect. Oh. Let Martin finish, or the CEO finish, and then we'll move a more formal amendment to the main motion to counter that.
Yeah. Thanks, Lord Mayor. Yeah, as I said, comment were made that administration provide financial advice. I don't believe that's been a formal financial advice. I believe we've had lots of anecdotal discussion. Certainly, as the Acting Director of Planning has pointed out, we're in a consultation process, as has followed on from the Share to Shape program, the strategic community plan and the corporate business plan. And they were framed at some expense and some costs, so those costs are certainly known. But what costs might be in the future, I'd say, would be a subject of a report back. I would ask ask Council to give the administration an opportunity to report back some of the, as I said, item 6 most definitely needs to be amended. Having noted the Council's comment about the motion signalling intent, I think it is far more prescriptive than that and therefore will commit the administration to a particular policy pathway. And I'd like to seek the, if you like, the forbearance of the Council to come back at some point in the future with at least a first cut on what that might look like as it relates to things such as the mid-year review. The mid-year review is not, I believe, intended to substantially change policy settings already endorsed by the community and set within the corporate business plan, but it does, however, offer an opportunity for reallocation or, you know, retasking. As I say, I would be looking for Council's forbearance if this motion were to proceed to communicate and collaborate with Council to amend it where necessary to meet the objectives of Council.
Okay, so I think we've heard enough. I think we are going to vote on the main motion.
I know that.
Okay. So, you know, we're talking about sort of new ideas popping up all the time. I think we've agreed that we were not going to nominate the people necessarily. We were going to vote on the main motion. Now, we've sort of had a wide-ranging discussion. Do you wish to close the debate?
Lord Mayor, just before, I just wanted to mention specifically on the CEO's point of item 6 that as the seconder of the motion, I am happy for the line to read a member of the city staff as determined by the Chief Executive Officer.
Yes, it must. There's just too much talk going on that the officers will need to capture officially.
Mm-hmm.
So that's agreed and you're happy for that to be part of the motion. Okay, so I think Councillor Davidson will speak and then you can close.
Yeah, just in terms of this, Lord Mayor, you know, once more we've got a very big ticket item. This is certainly a big policy shift. It should come through the Planning Committee. There are certainly no financial implications attached to it whatsoever. Again, useful for discussion, but certainly not in this arena of the Council. Our mandate is really a consultation, you know, with regard to share to shape, the corporate business plan, the strategic plan, etc. And so I think this is going to turn out to be a fairly big, you know, budget item that really we should be referring to the admin through the committee like we should have done. I would have done a procedural motion, but I tried that at 14.5, so I know that was a non-event. But this, for me, is far too prescriptive to be able to, you know, make a decision at this point on this tonight.
Thank you. So just to check with the governance, do I close and then separate that the appointment of the person out?
Through the chair, just note your intent that the motion 5 will be separated and through the indulgence of the chair be voted on accordingly.
Thank you. Thank you. So this is a policy that has been worked on for a long time as a result of hearing from the community and also the requests that are coming from precinct groups of the city and the suggestion that a better way forward is to have a strategic approach to this. And so I don't agree with the notion that it's policy on the run. I think it's more policy on the marathon run. And the need is really great for us to look at activation in the city, and we could spend another year navel-gazing or we can make a decision on it. And I really hope that we can see that it may not be perfect, but we shouldn't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And we know the research shows the property council is telling us that unique offerings are the things that bring people into cities. And this is actually going to really help and catalyse the unique attributes that are emerging in parts of our cities to really come to fruition and reach their full potential. So I commend this item to council and I really hope to gain your support. Thank you.
I'll start that again. So all in favour, raise your hands, and that is Limnios, Barton, Harley, Hasluck, Green and Chen, and against is Adamos, Davidson and Scafidi. Thank you. So then it's carried, and that enables you now to move to your second point.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. So item five within this motion is that the City Neighbourhoods Working Group will be chaired by a member appointed by council. And I think, do I seek nominations for that? Or
no. Firstly, we don't yet have a working group
terms of reference
to chair, so it won't happen immediately overnight, and there is therefore no urgency to this.
Yeah, I'm happy to support, or as the mover of the motion, I'm happy to amend the motion that, to go back to...
Sorry, Councillor Green, it's a procedural motion, so Councillor Davidson or someone else will have to second.
Correct. Thank you.
No, I didn't.
No. Procedural motion. Yes. Councillor Davidson has seconded, so that is going to be put to the vote. All in favour of that? Carried unanimously. Okay. That concludes it for the evening, except for item 15. I'll just repeat, I tried it before. Have any items of urgent business been received?
No.
Okay. Thank you all for your patience. I now declare this meeting closed. Good night.